absolutely amazing. Love you guys. Thank you for showing up to a really significant moment in the life of Bolido. I think it's really, really awesome. And I'm so excited to be able to bring the word to you this morning. I'm just going to shift the table just over there. And we are in the series at the moment in the book of Ephesians. It is called Sit, Walk, Stand. And if you're new or you're here for the first time, listening online for the first time, we are in part three, and today we're going to be talking about the walk section of the series. We realize that the walk section is actually, there's so much goodness in there that we have to do two parts. This is walk 2.0. Last week, Pastor Dill, come on, don't you love our Pastor Dill bringing the word and brought such an incredible word around unity last week Sunday, and today I get to speak around a little bit of unity. And I get to touch on maturity. Come on, somebody. Let the youth pastor come and talk about maturity. So I'm really, really excited, and it's going to be amazing. And you know what's amazing about this series so far is that we've heard testimony upon testimony of how people's lives have changed throughout the series, how the grace of God has been unraveling people's mindsets. And that's really, really beautiful. Unraveling religious ways of living and thinking and walking it out. And so we understand from this book of Ephesians, Paul is showing us a new way, all right? And we get to talk about that. And my prayer for you this morning is that grace would continue its work in your heart and that you would see this whole story in new light. So as mentioned, the book of Ephesians can be broken up into three sections. Chapters 1 to 3 is our seated position, and it's where we receive or come to understand redemption and the power of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and I. And then from 4 to 5, it's walk, speaking about unity and maturity, which is where we are today. And chapter 6, how we can stand against the enemy. So don't miss the last part, okay? Tap your neighbor and tell them, don't miss it. Don't miss the last part. We need to know how to stand against the enemy. It's going to be helpful. So Paul is writing this book, this letter, to the church of Ephesus. And Dill obviously said this and has said it really well, but Paul is writing from a prison cell. Guys, I don't know what your daily circumstances look like, but Paul is writing a very encouraging letter from a very dark place. Okay? He is bound by bars and chains and locks and security and all this, but he's writing a beautiful letter. And it really made me think you can be seated amongst physical chains yet still have a heavenly seated position in heavenly realms. So it does not matter your physical circumstances, you are seated in heavenly places. So don't allow the world to shape your worldview. Allow your worldview to shape your worldview. Amen. Are we alive this morning, Link Church? How's the coffee? Nice? So I'm going to start to read Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of sections out of chapter 4, and we're going to have a look at it. I'm going to give you 3 points. I'm going to show you one or two examples, and we're going to pray, and we're going to have the best lunch on Sunday. Amen. Okay, but first spiritual food. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 12 says, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there is an equipping, there's a servicing so that the body can be built up. Okay. And then verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants because we are now mature. Verse 15, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So Christ is the head. You and I are the body. Does Christ not deserve a strong, healthy body, church? Does Christ not deserve a body that functions well? Come on, we all want our bodies to function well, don't we? Yeah, we do. And so if that's the case with us, then surely how much more Christ? The thing that I realize about unity and maturity, and I'm learning this because I'm still young, still figuring things out, you can't have one without the other. You need both unity and maturity. They work in consonance with one another. They work together in and out with one another. And so in preparing for you this morning and in praying earnestly for you on my knees, cooking a meal for you this morning, God laid this message on my heart and he gave me this title: How to Age Well. How to age well. We all want to age well, don't we? And you know, I'm 31 years old, but when I smile at myself in the mirror, I'm starting to notice some things. When I wake up in the morning and I get out of bed, I'm starting to notice some things. Okay? It's just not the same anymore. And we want to age well. You want to age like fine wine. Whether it's white or red, it doesn't matter. It's up to you which one you like. You want to age like fine wine. Come on, husbands, don't you just want to turn to your wife right now and just tell him, baby, you age like fine wine. You just get better day by day. Day by day. Just the other day, I was in the office and my beautiful wife, who ages like fine wine, she says, John, can I make you some tea? I'm like, of course, make me some tea. I'm having a bad day. She makes me some tea. Every sip, my day gets better. And I'm drinking this tea and just trying to earn myself also some brownie points, not just you guys. And I'm drinking this tea and it's awesome. Day gets better by the sip. And I get to the last little bit, and the last little bit, I enjoy the last little bit just like I enjoy the first sip, okay? It's like eating a chocolate. You get to the end and someone comes to you and says, you're going to eat that? Yes, I'm going to eat that. What are you talking about? It's the last little bit. There's no way we're going to negotiate this. Halfway, we could have negotiated a little lick or a little something, but now this is the end. This is the best part. I feel that way about tea and coffee and chocolate. And I take this last sip, and something else arrives other than just liquid. It's slightly hard and slimy at the same time. And in that moment, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't dip Omar in this tea. There was no rusk in the process. What is here? And so I spit it out, and it's this hard piece of lumpy frot milk. It's got a little black dot in the center of it. I don't know what gathered there. I don't know what gathered. And I don't know, Lord, take the wheel. Rapture, arrive. I'm ready to go home. Should I wash my mouth with bleach, run through the wall? I don't know. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I don't even drink from other people's bottles. And this has arrived. Obviously, it wasn't her plan, okay? Don't point fingers. She makes great tea and I'll still drink it. But all of that to say that not all things that age, age well. The body of Christ need not to age like milk. Biki lampi. No, we ought to age like fine wine. I heard this quote, someone said this: even though I've been a Christian for 15 years, I'm not a 15-year-old Christian. I've come to realize through the grace of God that I've been a one-year-old Christian 15 times. And that's not a jab at me or anybody in the room, because we're all in the same boat. But that's just to say that we ought to be aging. There's a maturity that needs to be taken place. This is not a check-in Sunday and Sunday out. It's just God wants to do something. I've learned that maturity does not come with age all the time. I know some young people in my youth ministry are more mature than some people sitting in church. That's not a jab at anyone. I know a lot of people in church that's way more mature than some of my young people. I'm just saying, maturity doesn't always just come with age. There's a spiritual journey that takes place. When you're seated with your heavenly Father, something very special happens. You exchange in a meal that you can't afford. It's not a bring and share. It's not a bring and buy. God did it all. Jesus has done it all. And he says that you need to eat something. And this is what Matthew 4:4, Jesus says this. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So where do you hear that? you need to have a seated position in order to hear what God wants to do in and through your life. And when you do, it transforms you, church. You can't go on the same. Something changes and maturity starts to take place when you hear what God wants to do in and through you. And that gives you the ability and the strength to throw off your old self, your grave clothes, if you will, and take on the new. And then you're able to walk out what Paul is encouraging the church of Ephesus to do. Church is not a check-in place. It is not somewhere where we come to sing karaoke, lift our hands to the ceiling, and pray to the walls. It is not a hobby. A church, the temple, the sanctuary, the body of Christ is a place that we belong to. We belong to the body of Christ. It is a place where your salvation is found through Christ Jesus, a place where your gifts are discovered and activated. It's a place where we are active in exchange with God and man. I love this scripture, and I think it's in Matthew. It says, Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and man. It's not just this vertical relationship, it's also this one, outwards. I love the way that the cross is shaped because it's this way with God and it's this way with people. And there's unity there and there's unity there, and then comes the maturity part. So, point number one, make every effort. This is not for salvation or for grace. Okay, I just want to clarify that. We can't earn all those things. Why? Because we were seated with the Father and we received it, right? So now there's a make every effort for what? It says this in Ephesians 4:1-7, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. That is unity. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's beautiful. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, right? And I realize that making an effort is or requires maturity. You know, it takes a mature person to have a hard conversation and to sit and listen and not listen to respond. It takes a mature person to do that. You know, I am growing as a dad, and it is tough, let me tell you that. You know, I love my daughter so much, but there's times where she's just brutally honest, okay? And she will either, you know, push me away when I want a hug, and she'll say, no, daddy, no, mommy. And then I feel so horrible because all I want is to embrace my daughter and give her a hug. Last night, I'm sitting on the couch with her, and she's watching Blippi, obviously, and Cocomelon, and Bluey. Shows that I never thought I'd enjoy, but there I am. I'm joking. And I'm sitting next to her, and all I want, because I haven't seen her the whole day, and all I want is just to embrace her, hold her, hug her. And she's sitting there, and she goes, and I'm touching her foot, and she goes, daddy, move. And in that moment, my heart sinks, because I'm like, I just want to be here, right? And then I go, oh, I'm such a bad dad. You know, I just need to go for a walk and clear my mind. She's going through emotions. I need to be the mature one to come down on her level to say, baby, it's okay. It's okay. I need to be the mature one. It's easier to just walk off, right, than to have the hard conversations. It's easier to watch the CrossFit games on TV than it is to go down to the CrossFit box and become the athlete that you see on the TV. It's easier. I really felt this on my heart. It's easier to read the book on leadership than it is to write it. But you know that God's put it on your heart, but you haven't indulged in it yet and you haven't activated it yet because it's easier to read the book. I just want to say to you, I don't know who it is, but I felt this very strongly in my heart. God is calling you to write a book on leadership for the church and for the world, and it's needed and you need to do it. I don't know who it is, but someone needed to hear that. But it's easier to just read it, right? It's easier to just come to church and attend church than it is to serve that church. It is. I'm just being honest. I can wake up a little bit later, show up when the sun is out, you know, rock up, grab my coffee, scoot past the door lady, you know, with my coffee in my hand. It's easier. I can just do all that stuff. I just want to give a shout out to every single volunteer person who serves from the car park to the door to the coffee to kids' church to transit to the sound and lighting. Every single person, the things that you see and the things that you don't see, because it takes maturity to say, I want to form part of this body. I want to activate my gifts. I want to be part of the story. I want to partner with this. I don't just want to attend. We're talking a lot about this prayer night, the United Prayer Night. Let me tell you, church, it took maturity for that to take place. It took unity and it took maturity for that to take place. It didn't just happen. There was planning and people connecting and praying and considering who's going to talk and who's going to be on the band. And you know church politics. But we come to a conclusion. Why? Because we're all on the same road towards Jesus. I want to partner with what he wants to do in Bolido. I want to partner with what he wants to do in your business. I want to partner with what he wants to do in your family and in your marriage. I want to come alongside that. That's unity and maturity. So in this book of Ephesians in chapter 4, Paul very clearly says it is unity and maturity is given by God, the Holy Spirit, and it is our responsibility to protect it and to maintain it and grow it. It takes conscious action. It really does. We always have the saying, like, if we don't lead our young people, the world will. Simple. So if we leave them out there and we just, no, you just go and do your thing. Guess what? Somebody else is teaching them. Somebody else is leading them. And so I'm going to take the position of responsibility to say, I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that my young person is growing in the ways of the Lord. It takes conscious action. And the scripture says, in that Ephesian scripture, it said, be humble, gentle, and patient. That's an easy start. Said no one ever. Right? I'm not naturally humble. I'm not naturally gentle. And I'm not patient. It takes me to be seated with the Father, to hear what he has to say, and then those things will show up in my life. About 8 years ago, I think it was, maybe Jordan's uncle came down from the UK. White skin. Whew. Almost, you can check through the, oh, I'm joking. But he comes to the beach, and he lays down on the beach at about 10 a.m. and wakes up at 12. Tomato. Very red, okay? And that skin doesn't really see the sun a lot, so it's anar, it's very anar. What I'm saying is when you spend time with the sun, you'll see the effects of it on you very soon. And luckily with Jesus, it ain't gonna hurt. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Making every effort to sit so I can feast on the word that comes from the Father helps me be humble, helps me be gentle, and helps me be patient. I've seen you on the road. I've seen you in Woolworths. If I don't sit, I can't walk. And if I don't sit, you'll very quickly see it on me. But when I do, you'll also notice it very quickly. So, Paul, in chapter 4 and 5, you need to go and read chapter 4 and 5. He gives us a couple of things that we should walk in. Now, these things are very difficult. It's not easy. It's not an easy moment, but it takes maturity to say, I'm going to try. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. So there's a couple of things here. He says, number one, walk in love. You know, love is required for unity. Without love, unity does not exist. There needs to be love. But walk in love. Walk in wisdom, the knowledge of the Son of God, and know how to apply it. He says, walk in light. Can you just say light? Walk in light. This is really important. In chapter 5, a couple of verses down, Paul writes, everything that is in the dark will come to the light. And everything that is in the light will be visible. And everything that is visible, everything that is illuminated will become a light. Okay, that's really important to understand because, you know, for most of us, we think, jeepers, Lord, there's some things that I'm dealing with. I'm going to leave it there in the dark. I don't want anyone to know. I don't want anyone to know my struggle. I don't want anyone to know what I'm going through. Right? So I'm just going to leave it there. But Paul says, hey, if you bring it out into the light, it's going to be visible, and that which is illuminated is going to become a light. The thing that the enemy is trying to bring you down on is the very thing that Jesus is going to lift you up on, and that's going to give your entire community faith and courage. Well, if you got through it, then I can too. But if I keep mine and you keep yours, we're just wearing a mask all day. So it's like, hey, bring it to the light. So walk in light. It's very difficult. It's not easy, just being honest. Walk in purity, okay? In Ephesians, Paul was saying, hey, you guys, hey, you very quickly go back to your grave clothes. Sexual immorality was a big thing. So he's like, just keep the faith, okay? Walk in the Spirit, walk in faith, walk in obedience. Wow, obedience, difficult. But listen, when you act upon what God says, it's going to go well with you. Not going to go easy, it's going to go well. Okay, and then it says walk in prayer. Prayer is our warfare, church. We need to be a praying people. We have to be a praying church. You know, people ask me like, John, what's your prayer like with your Heavenly Father? Do you give 15 minutes in the morning? Do you wake up at 4 a.m.? Spend 2 hours? And my simple answer to that is no, simply, I want to be at the dinner table with my Father throughout my days. This is just me. I'm not giving God just the first part, I'm giving God all of my part. So when I'm joyful, I'm saying thank you. And when I'm going through trials, I'm saying, Lord, help me, please, Jesus, like this week leading up to this moment. I want God to be a part of my everyday, my all day. Make every effort to walk in this way. Make every effort. And you know what, church? One thing I know to be true is that the enemy will always try and tell you that you aren't doing very well. That there's a couple of things on that list that I just read out and you're like, jeepers, I'm far off. Like, this is going to take a long time for me to walk in these things. Well, listen, that's okay, because everything that you think that you're not reaching over there is simply an invitation to be with the Father again. Don't let the enemy convince you that you're far off. You're doing a lot better than you think. You're doing a lot better than you think. Point number two, small part, bigger story. Small part, bigger story. The story I'm part of is bigger than the part I play. The story I'm a part of is so much bigger than the part that I play. It doesn't mean the part that I play is insignificant. It just means that I form part of the body, which is beautiful. But what we sometimes want to do, I love it when transit makes noise. It's awesome. But what we want to do sometimes is we want to elevate ourselves. We want to change the story. We want to say the part I play is bigger than the story I'm part of. I don't know where that comes from, but it's inherently who we are. It's our nature. It's our flesh. We want to elevate ourselves and we want to make ourselves great. And Paul is going other way around, buddy. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, and this is the Message version, and it says this. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country, spiritual location. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. He's speaking to the Gentiles. You belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. I really felt strongly that someone needed to hear that. God is using you irrespective of how you arrived today. Whether you started on a good foot or a bad foot. Whether you failed last night or won last night. I don't know what it is. But irrespective of how you arrived today, God is going to use you in building his home, his church. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, not by us, but all of us built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. I want to say to you, church, God is quite at home. He is quite at home in your life too. If you feel like you're far off, remind yourself that God is actually quite pleased with you. You're not doing as bad as you think you are. I've got this little Lego piece here. Saw this example. It's not my example. But what I do want to say is, it's beautiful that I've seen this example elsewhere and I can use it today here because I form part of the body of Christ. There's no exclusivity here. There's no, it's your message, mom, whatever. We're all going to share this meal together. So this little Lego piece is cool. It's pink. It's got four little things on it, a little bit sharp around the edges. If you stand on it, it's quite interesting. Yeah, your day will change. But what I've wanted to do with my life for a very long time is exactly this. I wanted to elevate myself. I want everybody to look at me. I want to be the guy. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to have the skill or the gifting or the anointing. I wanted to be the person that is illuminated and everybody looks at me and says, John is so cool. But I'm not much to look at, except for my wife. She loves me. But I'm just here. I'm not much to look at. What I need to do is I need to form part of something bigger, something greater. Now, this isn't very big, but Summer built this. My daughter, I said, baby, would you build me a church? That's what she did. This is Wonderland. And she said, Wonderland needs some more flowers. So this is the church. And what we ought to do is not trying to elevate ourselves or bring attention to ourselves. What we need to do is we need to plug into the church wherever God sees fit, okay, and build the local church to utilize your gifts, your time, your talents, and your treasure to fit into a bigger story. And you know what I want you to know, church, is that this is a story which also plugs into a greater story, which is the global church, which is God's bride and his temple. So my goal in life was never to bring the attention to me. It was always to bring attention to Jesus and his local church and his global church. This is what we should be doing. That speaks of unity and that speaks of maturity. When that revelation hits, maturity starts to take place. And you start to say things like, Lord, I'm going to come with what I have, and would you use it? Would you put me on the stage, if you will? Would you put me on the drum set, if you will? That's it. Would you put me on the car park, if you will? Would you put me in kids' church, if you will? Would you put me behind the coffee counter, if you will? Would you put me behind a camera, or design, or tech, or song, or whatever it is? Would you put me in the community with Foundation to go and serve young kids who need to hear the story of Jesus? Put me wherever you want, Lord. If you want me in the light, let it be. But if you want me in the shadows, let it be. It's not about me. It's about you utilizing me as part of your body. I just want to be part of the story. Do you know what's beautiful about plugging into the church and being a part of the greater story? Paul said it. He said the foundations were the prophets, right? So when you plug in, what you're saying is, I get to partner with the story of old. You mean to say to me that I get to partner with Moses? Uncle Mo. Yes. Jeremiah, Isaiah, shout another one. Malachi. Daniel, we get to partner with all of those things because that is the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone, and now he's using you brick by brick. I get to partner with even Obadiah. Anyone know Obadiah? Anyone read that book in the Bible? It's going to be pretty awkward when you get to heaven and he says, how is my book? It's going to be pretty awkward. I get to partner with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and all the disciples to form part of a greater story. I want to say this to you. You've got a position in Christ, and you have a position in the church. You have a position in Christ, and you also have a position in the church. Aging Well says, I will take responsibility for my part of the story. I will take responsibility for my part of the church. I heard someone say this once, you know, going to Virgin Active. Anyone go to Virgin Active? Awesome. Active people. Good for you. Go to Virgin Active. Membership says, I get on a treadmill, it's broken. I get off, kick it, get on the next one and do my exercise and go home. Partnership, ownership, and family says, I go to Virgin Active, I get on the treadmill, notice that it's broken. Go down to the person at reception and say, hey, number 40 there is broken. I don't have the skill in order to fix that, but I would like to bring it to your attention. And then they go, oh, sure. I'll call the guy who's got the gifts to attend to that need. And then they go and they fix it and you go and exercise and we go home. This is not a membership church. This is a family. It is a partnership. It is the body of Christ. We don't just walk past things, we attend to things. And when your gift can't attend to the need, you find somebody else with the gift that can attend to the need. That's how the church works. We work together. Okay, take your position. Now I'm going to quickly show you an illustration very quickly. This is a drum chair. It usually has four legs. Doesn't today. And I'm going to try and take a seat on it. So this is quite difficult for me because I have to use energy. I've got to use my muscles. Not that I have much. Check these calves. None. But I'm not rested here. I'm taking a seat, but I'm not rested. What I know to be true is that there's people that walks into the church and we're telling them to take a seat, but they don't know how. They don't know how. And so practically, what does this look like? I'm going to ask just like a couple of people to come up here. Mark, would you come up here? Mac, would you come up here? Dill, would you come up here, please? Onto the stage. Villy, would you come up here? Notice I'm choosing all the big guys. So what I want you to notice is, I want you guys to come around me. They didn't know this was going to happen. The youth pastor throwing curveballs. So what I need to do is I need to be rested, which means I need to relax, but I can't because I don't know how. And so when your gifts are activated in the church and you're no longer just a member, but you're forming part of the family, the body of Christ, then joy comes and then purity comes, because you're very pure. And then all these other gifts comes, and they hold me up. They hold me up. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm just going to relax. I'm going to be seated, but I'm going to relax.
Just relax, bro.
I'm going to relax. Look at this.
Everything's under control.
Everything's under control, says Pastor Mark. But my feet are off the ground. Look, I'm leaning a little bit to this way. So your gift, need to work on your gift there. joking. But look, it looks awkward, but some of us need to maybe take a position like this and allow the church to come alongside you to hold you up in moments where you seem you can't. Thank you, guys. This is what your gift activated in the local church looks like. This is what it looks like. I'm going to ask the band to come up. Well, they have been up. Talking too long. Not like Mark, anyway. I'm joking. Okay, so last point. And as the band comes up, I want to ask you to stand to your feet as well. And I'm going to close on this last point. I'm a little bit cheeky. I'm going to get a punishment later. It's fine. The last point that I want to share with you today as I close is return to the table. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. Then my cup overflows." Because when I was preparing this message, I was asking God, like, awesome, Lord, I'm so grateful that I've been able to take a seat. And I'm so grateful for you showing me how to walk out this new way of life or what to put on. But Lord, what if I fail? What if I step out of church today and the moment I go over the church speed bump, someone stops in front of me and patience seems to have left the building? What if I fail? What if I fail or feel like I'm failing at being a dad? Or feel like I'm struggling at being just a good husband? Or feel like I'm struggling with being a good boss and overseeing 200 employees and I just feel like I'm not getting it right? What if I'm failing at walking in the light or obedience? I'm just not getting it. What do I do, Lord? And I just felt the Father look at me, or probably did look at me, and just say, "John, if you're not getting it right, just return to the table." Like, it's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. It's not that complex like the world seems to make it out to be. Just return to the table. I don't have to fix myself and get it right before I can sit and have a meal. He goes, "This is where you figure out how to do the walking. Why are you trying to walk and stand? If you fail, just come back." You are always welcome at the dinner table with Jesus. And He wants to have a meal with you. I want to say this to you, church. Mark said it earlier. Your sins are totally forgiven. Absolutely. 2, your guilt and shame and failure that you feel like you're carrying was left in the grave. The only one that came out of the grave there was Jesus. Everything else stayed behind. That's including yours. So simply return to the table. And this is what I'm going to charge you with today. Peter 1, 13 and 16. This is a great scripture. It says, so roll up your sleeves. Get your head in the game. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. I'm praying that Jesus arrived for you this morning. Maybe you're receiving him now for the first time online or in the house. Don't lazily slip back into that old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better. Now you do. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, be holy, for I am holy. This is beautiful. I said, well, God, how am I supposed to be holy? This is difficult. He goes, return to the table, John. If you want to be holy like I am holy, you want to walk in the ways that I told Paul to tell the church of Ephesus to walk in, then just come back to the table, because the more time you spend with me, the more of me you will be. So Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your message. I thank you for the book of Ephesians. I thank you for Paul. I thank you for what he's encouraged us with, Father God, to walk out this new way of life, God. And I pray, Father God, so much for a courage for your church to step into everything that you have for them. I want to ask you today, church, if there's anybody in the room, you feel like you've been trotting along. You feel like you've gone back to the grave clothes. And today is possibly the day where you decide, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to be the same. Today I choose to put on my new way of life, and I'm going to walk towards what God has for me. I want to ask you to be brave, church. If the grave clothes have been trying to come back again and again, and today is the day where we get to leave it behind and we say, Lord, I'm going to come your way. I want you to raise your hand. Everybody has eyes closed, head bows, eyes closed. If that's you today, throw up your hands. I'm never going to be the same again. I'm completely changed by the blood of Christ and the grace that comes with it. Father, I pray for every hand that is up. I pray for a conviction, Father God, fueled with love and grace, Lord. Invite your people, Jesus, to the dinner table. Pray that God would reveal himself to you as you walk out this new way of life, as you start off this Sunday completely fresh, completely free, completely restored, and completely new, so that you can be the church that God has called you to. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Come on, church, let's sing to King Jesus this morning. We are your people. Do what only you can do.